So let's go through some of the interesting developments from this unofficial depth chart. And again, my caveat and my prereq to this conversation is always, these things don't mean a ton, I don't think, but there's a few things they did here that are actually really surprising to me. The first is we have our answer, oddly enough, on right tackle. They did not list Connerly slash Wiley. They did not list Andrew Wiley as a first-team right tackle at all. In fact, he's not even listed as the backup at the position. They listed him at guard. And so when they say Allegretti or Wiley at right guard, that tells you Josh Connerly is going to be their starting right tackle this weekend against the Giants, and that he's going to play every single down. And why that's interesting is, you and I have discussed the idea that last year there was this rotation with Brandon Coleman, and I think it was actually Wiley on the left side, at the start of last season. And those two guys on a series-by-series basis went back and forth, and eventually, after a couple of weeks, Coleman ended up taking the job and running with
that's it, right, yeah.
And Wiley moved to another position. There was some thought that that would happen again with Josh Connerly, but they've clearly seen enough in a couple preseason games and as the most improved player from day one to the final day of training camp that Josh Connerly is going to be the right tackle who will be thrown into the deep end against the Giants to sink or swim.
Yeah, so that's obviously the point one that's interesting. Point two, or maybe it's a little bit further down in import, I can't remember an or on many depth charts that I've read. I thought that was really interesting that it's Allegretti or Wiley. Who's to say? But obviously less important than the rookie first-round pick taking the job.
At the start of the year, they've done that a bunch where they're like, quote-unquote, not still sorting things out, yeah. Right? Like, I've seen the or between the two where they don't want to announce yet who's starting, and there's a competition or something going on because they don't have to necessarily.
Right, there's no requirement to.
Yeah. But I thought it would look like that at right tackle. And the fact that it doesn't actually answer.
I thought there'd be a slash in there, yeah.
I'd be surprised if it's not Wiley then. Because remember, they don't really have a backup center. Nick Allegretti's the backup center. They didn't keep another one on the 53-man roster. So unless they elevate Michael Dieter from the practice squad on game day, then Allegretti's your only center other than Biadasz on the roster, which means he's got to be available and ready to come onto the field. And you keep working back from that, that means that Andrew Wiley would play guard, not Nick Allegretti. And that Allegretti could be there to practice and get ready on the sideline, doing snaps and whatever as a center. You don't want to make two changes instead of one. So my guess is they've answered the big question that we had on the line. Andrew Wiley at right guard, Josh Connerly at right tackle, left to center you've got Tunsil, Coleman, and Biadasz, and then Allegretti will be the backup at basically two or three positions.
That was the biggest thing that we were trying to figure out. It's also what you hope for, right? I mean, that's your best case scenario until Sam Cosmi comes back, and hopefully is Sam Cosmi. They give enough time to do that. But if the rookie isn't ready, no harm, no foul, that's totally reasonable and normal to go from doing it in whatever the Pac-8 or whatever conference Oregon's in now to doing it in the show, the highest level we got. You could take a couple of weeks, a month, et cetera. It's not like he was picked second or third overall. But the fact is, he looked the part. By, you know, certain reps in even that first preseason game where he's out in space, he's engaging with one guy and then finding a way to get into the second level just because of how, you know, athletic and quick he is. And you could sort of see the growth just from that, just in the brief little sample that we got, let alone folks that were out of practice, which you guys got to see. But he certainly looks the part, and that was the biggest variable. If he wasn't quite ready, that moved a couple different dominoes around. Now that he is, he's anchored there, you sort of figure out the rest because those other three spots from the center on over were pretty much already set.
Jalen Lane, the rookie from Virginia Tech, is your punt returner. That is not a surprise. He was returning a bunch of punts in the preseason. And I think when they drafted him, if you go back all the way to April on our show and everywhere, that was kind of the expectation. He was an exceptional punt returner with the Hokies, and that was going to be how he cut his teeth in the league early. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to return punts, whether he plays or not on offense at all early on, is to be determined. But he's going to be their punt returner. Here's what I am very interested in, though. Deebo Samuel's listed as their kick returner. Now, he returned 48 kicks last season for San Francisco. I don't even remember him returning kicks for the 49ers, but obviously that was the case. Teams are valuing kick returning more the last couple seasons than they did before, where they would just put whoever their backup running back or their last wide receiver in or whatever. Now, because the play is set up a little bit more like an offensive play with actual design blocks and the way that the kicks are being returned, because if you put it into the end zone where the possession starts is too damaging, you're going to get a chance to return the football. It's just an opportunity basically to whose hands do you want the ball in space on your team? And for Washington last year, that was Austin Ekeler, who, if you remember, returned the opening kick at Northwest Stadium for a touchdown. It got called back via penalty. This year, it's going to be Deebo Samuel. So after 48 kick returns last season in 2024 and going back to 2023, you know, 25 that year, and then the year before that in 2022, you know, just three kick returns. You've seen his import go up in that role as more and more kicks get returned. Washington is going into the season listing him as their primary kick returner. With his injury history and just durability.
I noticed that too, yeah.
I would not be doing that, but I wonder if he's going to be the kick returner like occasionally, or if that means every kick he's back there and they're trying to get him the ball.
I wonder. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a, especially early, because I, you know, and we just had Kevin Sheehan on the Blitz. He said, yeah, I think Terry's going to be Terry in week one. I'm not convinced of that. And I know we've had a lot of discussion about that ad nauseum, but Deebo's valuable for me throughout, but especially early on this season because the rapport's there, the reps have been there, et cetera. If indeed Terry's on a pitch count, I don't know that I'd have him back there because to your point, he's going to get returns. He's going to get looks. Maybe you do it like Gibbs used to do with Darryl Green. You know, what's a special occasion? We need the jolt. I'll have him back there, return the punt. Maybe you go, okay, tight game, fourth quarter. Let's run Deebo back there. Kind of like that Santana Moss formula for those that, you know, came around a bit later. Maybe it's that, but I don't know. I agree with the sentiment, though. Who would you rather have with the football in their hands with a little bit of space to move?
Looking at the Commanders' first depth chart of the season that they dropped today as part of their game notes that are coming out ahead of Sunday's matchup with the Giants, Luke McCaffrey was a kick returner and a punt returner at times last season. Because he's not listed as the primary kick returner, Deebo Samuel, or the primary punt returner, Jalen Lane, backing up at both of those positions, I wonder if he's going to be active on game day. Right now, you'd have to say he's wide receiver five, behind wide receiver four, Jalen Lane, if Lane's the punt returner, and just based on Lane having had a better camp. But the three guys, clearly at that position, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Noah Brown, then you've got Lane. If Kane Medrano is up and on teams, which you'd imagine, or Ale Cajo, let's say, the other of the UCLA backers, undrafted, is up and playing on teams with Nick Ballore and some of the other guys at the position. If they really like their safety spot with special teamers, Percy Butler, Jeremy Reeves, Tyler Owens,
yeah.
Like, do you need a spare wide receiver on coverage units? I think there's a real chance in week one of his second season that McCaffrey could actually be deactivated.
I'm with you
as
on
a third-round pick last year.
And again, I haven't written it down and done all the math about, you know, who's on what unit for coverage and different things like that. But if he's not going to be returning kicks, then you're right. I mean, maybe you go with four in that first week and have an extra body in the Cajo mold on, you know, to cover things.
The only thing I would say to that is just kind of playing devil's advocate of what we're both suggesting. Thinking out of the other side of the mouth here. In doing Take Command with Logan Paulson, which is the podcast, if you guys aren't familiar, that Logan and I do, it's very X's and O's intensive, and you know, we did a nice deep dive on a bunch of scheme stuff and how things could look different with some of their personnel changes in a pod that dropped today, so you can get that when we're done at thefandc.com or 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page to watch the show. But he made the case that when he went back last year, they used six receivers in like every single game. And his point is,
with tempo.
Tempo and no huddle. I mean, they had more no huddle than any team since the Eagles and
with Chip Kelly
last year. And because of the tempo, the fastest operating team in the league and the number of plays they run, receivers get tired running routes, even if it's just runs where they're blocking, like you get fatigued. And his point was you needed at least five and probably six to get through last season, even if four tight ends are up. The only thing they could do is, like, if they wanted to split Ben Sinnott or Colson Yankoff out for the rare time where you needed a fourth receiver or, you know, an extra receiver because everybody's tired, I guess you could do that. But maybe you keep Luke McCaffrey up just because of the tempo you operate with, and eventually you're going to have multiple receivers that ask out on a play, and if Noah Brown's dinged or something on that particular moment, now you need another wideout. But someone else would have to be deactivated at that point to make that work. For McCaffrey, who's just going to stand around a lot.
So now you've got, you know, and they list Von Miller as an outside linebacker. Come on, defensive end. So it's really, there's 11 defensive linemen
there. We've talked about this. The only reason Von Miller's listed as an outside linebacker is because of the number he wears. You're not allowed to play defensive end as number 24. So they now technically have to list him as a linebacker because he's wearing the jersey number 24, which is stupid, and I hate everything about it, but it's actually a cool thing he's doing. Is he had a buddy in high school that got paralyzed, and the story behind the number 24, in addition to being a big Champ Bailey fan and some other things. But they have to list, like, they don't even list OLBs on their depth chart.
Yeah, they just go, oh, his nuts on linebacker.
Yeah. So really, it's a defensive end.
Yeah, right? But the point I'm trying to make is there's 11 guys there, right, that they kept on this 53. So that's Jacob Martin, that's Javonte John-Baptiste, now Eddie Goldman, Johnny Newton, Javon Kinlaw, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Teron Payne, and then you add in Von Miller. Maybe one or two of those guys could be down, right, in terms of a game day, just to make sure that you've got five. So
Baptiste, I'd say, yeah, probably one of those guys.
Would be
guys
a candidate
for sure.
There. Yeah.
Absolutely.